Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9. Romans is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Romans chapter 9. And we're going to start pretty much at the end of that chapter, verse number 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. I like that. Let's stand while God's word is being read. I'm going to read 9:30 through 10:4. And God's word says this: What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as it were, by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, it is so good to have your word here in front of us, where we can learn from this, where we can grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, these words that bring the good news to us. Father, as your representative, I once again just ask that you guide the words that I'm about to say. Guide them by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Father, may they all fall on the ears of those who need to hear them this morning, Lord, whoever that may be. Father, may they be words of salvation. May they be words of good news. May they transform lives. Father, I hide behind the cross, and may your power of your word be known in this sanctuary here this morning. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Just before I start, Matt and Brittany, I want to tell you, just give you this, well, many words of advice, but I want to tell you this. When you go to North Carolina, you're going to be looking for a church. Make sure the pastor tells you to open your Bibles. If he doesn't tell you that, you're in the wrong church, okay? You're in the wrong church. You don't go to chemistry class without your chemistry book. You don't go to church without your Bible. Sorry, I'm a little passionate about that. Can you tell? Today we're going to continue our sermon series on Biblical Salvation 101. That's the basics that one needs to know to be saved. Last week from the book of Isaiah, we learned that our hearts need to be healed. We need to be saved. We need salvation. We need to be saved from ourselves. Those verses in Isaiah said this, that we must see with our eyes, that we must hear with our ears, and we must understand with our hearts that our hearts can be healed. So based on that, we ask the logical question. We need to see what? We need to hear what? And we need to understand what? We said that we must be able to see, we must be able to hear, and we must, most of all, be able to understand the gospel message. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, For it alone, the gospel message, for it alone has the power of salvation, and it declares God's righteousness. It declares God's plan of salvation to all of us. When it comes to biblical salvation, And I throw in the word biblical because there are just hundreds, if not thousands, of salvation plans out there. But there's only one that works, and that's the one outlined in this book. When it comes to biblical salvation 101, the eight verses in today's message contain some very important words. Words such as righteousness, faith, works, saved. But there's one word that I want to focus on for this morning's message, and that word is the word knowledge. Knowledge. What we know to be true. What we know to be true. One event in human history that has really captured my own personal imagination is the sinking of the Titanic back on April the 15th, 1912. Most of us, if not all of us, know the story. The RMS Titanic was built at the Harland and Wolff shipyard in Ireland, and it was owned by the White Star Lines. In 1912, it was the largest man-made object ever to move under its own power. It was twice the size of Noah's Ark. According to the 1997 James Cameron movie, Titanic, a conversation transpired among Captain Smith, who was the captain of the Titanic, William Andrews, who was the designer of the Titanic, and Bruce Ismay, who was the owner of the Titanic. And they had this conversation shortly after the ship struck the iceberg and was taken on water. William Andrews, the designer, he explains that the Titanic could stay afloat if up to four of her forward compartments are flooded. But unfortunately, the first five compartments are flooded, thus dooming the ship. He explains this to the captain, and he explains it to Bruce Ismay, the owner. Bruce Ismay, the owner, responds, "But this ship can't sink." And William Andrews replies, "She's made of iron, sir. I assure you, she can, and she will. It's a mathematical certainty." Bruce Ismay was relying on his feelings and his emotional attachment to the ship that he owned to convince himself that this ship was not going to sink. William Andrews, on the other hand, was relying on the facts about the ship that he designed so he could tell others that it would. Mr. Andrews had the correct knowledge about the circumstances. Biblical Salvation 101 says that we are saved because of what we know and what we understand, not because of what we feel and what our emotions are telling us. Let me repeat that. Biblical Salvation 101 tells us that we are saved because of what we know and what we understand to be true, not because of what we feel and what our emotions are telling us. I can feel happy one minute, but not happy the next. But I know the Titanic sank, and that's not going to change. In Paul's letter to Titus, he begins his epistle with these words, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect," here's the important part, "and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness." The knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Godliness is a product of salvation. Salvation is found in the truth, and truth is acquired by knowledge. You are saved because someone shared the truth with you and with me. Now let's get into the heart of the gospel. What are our circumstances? And where and how do we get the correct knowledge to make decisions about those circumstances? Well, as I have often said, and I'll repeat it again this morning, I am responsible to you, but I am not responsible for you. So starting today, I will give you everything that you need to know, the knowledge based on truth about biblical salvation. I will explain it to you with the hope that the Spirit of the living God will help you to understand that truth, so you can have knowledge and understanding of that knowledge and of the truth. If you look on the front of your bulletins, it has the words, "The truth matters." Most of the time, we don't pay much attention to the front of the bulletin or to the back of the bulletin, probably because the front and the back of the bulletin really never change. It's what's on the inside. But I have here on the front, "The truth matters." And I have that because that's the name of my ministry, "The Truth Matters." And I chose that name because, does anybody know why I chose the name "The Truth Matters" for my ministry? Because the truth matters. Exactly. Because it does. The truth does matter. Now I'm going to tell you something I hope that each and every one of you in here knows. The truth is found in this book. The truth is found in this book. No other book, this one. The Bible, God's Word. If you don't believe that, you really should. And if you still don't want to believe that, here's what's going to happen. Then you're going to make up your own truth, and it's going to be based on your own knowledge, and it's going to be based on your own emotions, and it's going to be based on your own feelings. And then you're no different than Bruce Ismay. May I remind you that the Titanic did sink. At the time of Jesus, the Israelites had their own truth. That's what it tells us in the book of Romans. We read that this morning. Or should I say that the Israelites at that time had their own belief system. And it was a far cry from the Mosaic law that God gave to Moses many years before that. Romans chapter 10 verse 2 says that they were even zealous for God, but their zeal was based on that belief system. And unfortunately for them, it was a wrong belief system. And that's sad, because the wrong belief system cannot save anybody. And it's only going to damn that person. So let me ask, what is your truth? And what is your belief system about salvation? Is it based on the knowledge of the truth as is revealed in God's Word? I certainly hope so, because that's where the truth will be found. And the truth will set you free. Let's go to our first fill-in-the-blank in the bulletin. Kind of a little bit of a recap from last week. Our first fill-in-the-blank would say this: the power of salvation is in the gospel. And the gospel is found in the Bible. It's found in this book right here, the Bible. Regardless of what the world might say and what the world might teach you, let me share some truth with you here this morning. Not all paths lead to God. Okay? Not all paths lead to God. The Mormon path does not lead to God. The Jehovah Witness path does not lead to God. The Muslim path does not lead to God. The Hindu path, the Buddhist path, and the list could go on and on and on. There's only one path that leads to God, and it's revealed and spoken about in this book right here. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 1 says that it's God's righteousness. It's His plan of salvation that's being revealed in the gospel. My friends, if you're looking for a plan of salvation, look no further. You'll find it in this book. That's where it's at. Biblical Salvation 101 tells us that the Bible is the only source of truth. Back in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John the Apostle writes this, starting in verse 30. He says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Verse 31. But these are written. Why is this book written? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The source of truth is going to be found in this book. It's the only place you're going to find it. We need to know and admit that truth. We need to know that this is the only source of truth. So, now that I've given you the knowledge about that, I pray that you understand that. Point number one, the Bible is the source of God's truth. So what's the next thing that we should know and understand about Biblical Salvation 101? We need to know and understand who we are. We are human beings, and we have a problem. I'm going to read Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. Scripture that I read on several different occasions. Romans 3, starting with verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands and no one who seeks God. Now starting with verse 12, here's where the news gets kind of bad. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now let me team that scripture up with Romans 6:23, and I'll just read the first part of that, and it says this, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Our second fill in the blank in the bulletin would say this, we have all sinned, and sin leads to death. We have all sinned, and that sin leads to death, a spiritual death. Our sin has severed our relationship with God. Our sin has killed us spiritually. Our sin keeps us out of heaven, and our sin damns us to hell. From the moment of our first sin, sin becomes our master, and we become its slave. When you speak of worldly knowledge, the world will try to tell everybody this, that man is basically good. But the Bible tells us actually quite the opposite. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, right before the flood, the Bible tells us this, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, and who can understand it? Psalm 143, verse 2 says this, do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says this, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, and that I am clean and without sin? No one can say that. Biblical Salvation 101 tells us that sin has separated us from God. And we need to know and admit that truth. And now that I have given you the knowledge about that, I pray that you understand that. The first two points in Biblical Salvation 101. We have to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is found in the Bible. Number two, we have to realize who we are, and we are separated from God. And somehow we need to find our way back. So what's the next thing that we need to know and understand for Biblical Salvation 101? We need to know and understand what doesn't work. What doesn't work? Now, this statement might surprise you, but I'll make this statement anyways. Religion does not work. Religion does not work. Did you know that religion is man's attempt to reach God? In this morning's scripture reading, Romans chapter 9, verse 31, it says that Israel pursued a righteousness, but they never attained it. Why? Well, verse 32, the next verse, answers that question. It says this: because they weren't pursuing the righteousness as outlined by God. They were pursuing it, right? They were pursuing righteousness by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Some common scripture that I read quite often says this: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Let me tell you what, my friends. Well, first of all, let's fill in the blank. Works do not work. Works do not work. Works do not work. You can't get to there from here. You can try, and you can try, and you can try, and you can try, and you can try. You can't get there from here. All of your church attendance, all the money that you donate to charitable causes, all of your visits to nursing homes, all of the cards that you send to the sick, all the phone calls that you make to the discouraged, all the weddings and all the funerals that you attend, all your good deeds as a husband and a wife, a son or a daughter and a friend, all your help with the church fundraiser, all of your mission trips, all those hours that you spend in the children's nursery, etc., 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 they mean absolutely nothing in God's plan of salvation. All that stuff that I just read, that's your plan of salvation. That's man's plan of salvation. That's man's way. That's man's belief system. Those are man's ideas. Those are man's motivation. That is man's religion. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 tells us this, that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Biblical Salvation 101 tells us that you cannot earn your salvation. We need to know and admit that truth. So now that I have given you the knowledge about that truth, I pray that you understand it. Biblical Salvation 101, the first three points we need to know and understand that we need to get right here. If this is going to be changed, to get to here, it's got to go through our mind first. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, that we are changed by the renewing of our minds. Renewing of our minds. Our minds change, and that convinces our heart. I'd like to end by reading a little passage out of the book of Nehemiah. That's way back in the Old Testament. And I'm just going, I have some of it written in your bulletin. I have a couple verses written in your bulletin. But I'm going to read verses, chapter 8, verses 5 through 12. Let me just give you a real short summary of the history. Nehemiah, they had gone back in, from the being exiled in Babylon after 70 years of captivity. They were now back in Jerusalem. They had rebuilt the walls. And it was time for people to understand the law of God. It was time for people to hear the law of God, because in captivity, that might not have been the case. Verse 5, Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hamnan, and Peliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. Verse 8, they read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." And then verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. That, my friends, is some very powerful scripture. And here it is, back in the Old Testament. Every now and again, I like to go back there because there's some really good stuff back there. I said last week that there's not one verse of scripture standing alone by itself will save us, and I stand by that. But as we read scripture, as we read this verse, and then this verse, and then this one, and then this one, and then this one. And as people spoke into our lives and spoke this verse, and that verse, and this verse, and that verse. And you had the people like the Martha Coopers doing a little bit of planning. And you had the Warrens doing a little bit more watering. And you had the Pete Fitzgeralds doing a little bit more watering. And you had the Cindy Thompsons doing a little bit more watering. And the Melbas and the Ruth Shirleys and the Glenn Fieldses and the Daryl Stevenses. Eventually, all that knowledge that they bestowed upon other people and people like us, we come to the knowledge and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that we had people in our lives who shared the knowledge of the truth with us? Amen. The knowledge of the truth. If this is going to be transformed, and when I say this, I don't mean my shirt. I'm talking about my heart If this is going to get transformed, it's got to be and it's got to go through here first. This has got to process it. And this has got to know it. And this has got to understand it. We are renewed by the, we are transformed by the renewal of our minds. Biblical Salvation 101. I've just given you a little bit of it here this morning. If you knew absolutely nothing, trust me, I didn't give you enough to be saved. There's more to it. That means you got to come back next week. That's a good thing. But I'm sure most of us sitting in here this morning already know what that truth is. We got to know where to find the truth in here. We have to know this, that we are separated from God, that we are sinners. And we have to know this, our attempts to get back there don't work. Obviously, God has a plan of salvation. And next week, we'll continue with that thought and know and understand a little bit more about what God's plan of salvation is for all who believe. Let's go to God in prayer.